It's time to wake to sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky, and today we're going to be talking about fitness and sleep. We have an expert, Laura Dow. She is a master trainer in fitness. She has her own company, Stiff to Fit, and she's an author of this book, Mind Your Movement. We're going to be talking about that today. So, Laura, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Andrew. Happy to be here.
Great, great. You know, we talk a lot about sleep on this show from a scientific end in terms of like sleep studies and sleep disorders and those types of things. But it's so important that people understand that, you know, our whole body is involved with everything. And if we're not in shape, if we're not eating properly, if we're not doing good things, it's going to impact our sleep as well. So, you know, I really wanted to be able to get into some of those subjects today about stretching and exercise and all the things that we need to do for a healthy body. So can we start off with you giving us a little bit of your background? What got you into the fitness field in the first place?
Sure. Well, I have my own journey to better health and fitness. Like many of your listeners, possibly, I've had yo-yo weight gain and weight loss throughout my life. And also because of the age I am, I'm 64, being a female growing up in the United States, I did not have access to team sports. Title IX wasn't passed until 72. And because of many legal challenges that were mounted to Title IX, it wasn't implemented until I was in high school. So all the opportunities that one would think of that are available to everyone now in public schools were not available to me as a female back when I was growing up. So movement and exercise and physical activity were things that I did as something with friends. So biking, walking, playing tennis, hitting tennis balls back and forth, swimming, ice skating. I grew up in a northern climate. My brain wasn't in, okay, let's go out and go for a run. Let's go out and lift weights. I mean, I didn't start lifting weights until I was in my late 30s. So I was basically, my family prized intellectual pursuits. So I started with, you know, reading, and I was a big music person. I grew up playing piano and playing flute. And eventually I became a classical musician. And there wasn't a whole lot of movement involved with that, although I will get back to that in a bit because the breath part of playing my instrument was super important. Mm-hmm. And during this time period of my life, there was weight gain and weight loss, as I said. So I was about 50 pounds overweight and in my 30s, and a friend of mine mentioned something about the local martial arts studio. And I was like, what? You're doing martial arts? She was older than me. And she said, yeah, she's doing it as a family. So I checked it out. I got heavily involved with it in my mid-30s. And that was the first time I realized that I had any physical ability whatsoever. And it was like, you know, the heavens opened. It was just a major revelation for me. I lost weight. I got stronger. I had a wonderful couple of years. I got injured. Unfortunately, that was on me. I regained weight. And, you know, it's this kind of scenario. So, however, the difference on this scenario is that I recognized that movement was super important. I mean, it helped me on so many levels, my mental health, as well as my physical health, as well as, you know, not carrying 50 extra pounds on my body. So eventually I segued into becoming a fitness professional through this journey of hiring a personal trainer and hiring a nutritionist and, you know, getting myself just on a much better path. And I've been in the fitness industry for the last 20 years and just love working with the folks that I work at. But it was a kind of convoluted path. And it was definitely based on my own personal journey of not being healthy, being pre-diabetic, having higher blood pressure, weighing 50 pounds more, to now being in a place where I eat much better and I, you know, I take care of myself on a very different level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, that's great to have that journey, but to then take that journey and turn it into a business to help others is another step altogether.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I wanted to share my knowledge. That's where the book came from, too. Working with people one-on-one is a great pleasure. That's what I did in flute anyway when I taught flute for years. I worked with younger people. Now I work with older people. It's all the same skill set. It's just different information. And it's been very rewarding. But I'm at the point in my life where I'm thinking about legacy, and I want to leave. I have this whole body of knowledge in my brain and ways that I work with my clients that seem to be successful for them. And I just wanted to be able to pass that forward in some sort of broader context.
Great, great. So as we get ourselves started here, and we're talking about, you know, exercise and movement and getting the body going, you had mentioned to me that there's a difference between, I wrote it down here, movement versus exercise. And I'm curious to learn what the difference is.
Well, I think I want to clarify that when you say fitness and exercise to an 80-year-old person, that maybe that's not the best approach to get them to move better. Mm-hmm. And so my vocabulary, I mean, I'm a fitness professional. That's what I am. My company is called Stiff to Fit. So clearly I don't think it's bad. I just think you have to know your audience. So I raised the Title IX situation because it directly affected me, but it affects all of my clients that are older than me. So if I was just at the cusp of being able to have team sports for girls in my high school, the women that are older than me did not have that at all. So I do occasionally run across people that have never weight trained, women that have never weight trained, which is kind of blows my mind, but it does happen. And so you can't go to someone who's never weight trained and say, okay, we're going to, you know, get you fit, because that doesn't have any meaning in their world. As a matter of fact, it has kind of a scary connotation, like, okay, so you're going to be like a drill sergeant and you're going to make me do all these crazy things and I'm going to get hurt, or I'm not going to be able to perform well, or whatever the fear might be. So you have to be quite careful with your language. So I say movement because our bodies are moving constantly. Even you and I sitting here right now, we're breathing, our lungs are getting the air, our hearts are beating, our brain waves are happening, our digestion is happening. So there's already a lot of movement that's happening, and that kind of demystifies it for a lot of folks, that if you're body is already moving, let's just keep it moving. Let's talk about, what do you do in your life that you need movement, that you need specific exercises or stretches for that will help you with your daily life to move better. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm coming from about the fitness and the exercise versus movement or physical activity. I try to make the words feel a little bit more accessible to whoever it is that I'm working with.
Right, right. And I like that approach, and I think it's really meaningful. You know, I think back to a lot of clients that I work with from the sleep end, and certainly you see, you know, you see a lot of people, let's say 40 and above, you know, a wide range, but, you know, not your 20s, not your teens, but, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, all the way up. And, you know, when I talk to people who have gotten to retirement age, for example, and we talk about, you know, their daily routine and what do they do, and oftentimes it'll be something like, well, you know, I get up, I have my breakfast, I take the dog for a walk, and then I sit down and I pay bills and I go through my email and I might watch some TV, but a lot of sedentary type of things. And, you know, when we're sitting and we're not using or stretching our muscles, I'm assuming what we're actually doing is making them weaker, which means that we're opening ourselves to potential back problems and injuries, as opposed to if we were stretching them and moving them, we'd be strengthening them. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what you described is unfortunately common occurrences in many people's lives, where there's maybe a little bit of movement at the beginning and then lots and lots and lots of sitting. And then who knows if there's any more movement at the end. So one of the things that I like to encourage people is to take movement breaks. So if you've got to pay your bills and, you know, you're going to sit there for 45 minutes or an hour, that's fine. That's part of life. But then after you pay your bills, what could you do that would feel good to you? Are you able to get down on the floor and do some stretches on the floor? Or if you can't get down on the floor, could you do some standing stretches? I often say to my clients that if they're waiting for their coffee to brew or they're waiting for something in the microwave, that even 30 seconds, there are things that they can do in 30 seconds that are extremely beneficial, like the hip circles. The hip circles are extremely beneficial. Shrugging your shoulders is extremely beneficial. Any kind of movement where you're working your body parts differently, like even putting your hands up and lifting your hands overhead, if that's accessible for your shoulders. This just, I mean, this is my world. There's a ton of stuff that I can offer people that they can do where they don't feel like, oh, now I have to change my clothes, or I have to take a shower, or I have to have an hour and a half to work out. You know, all the reasons that people don't want to be moving. No, you can do it in street clothes. I have clients that are still working. They can do it in their business outfits. I mean, clearly I'm not going to have them get down on the floor in their heels and their, you know, business attire, and they don't have any privacy. So we have to think, we have to be creative, and you have to improvise sometimes. But absolutely, there are ways to get around when people are in habits of, okay, there's movement in the morning and then no movement for the rest of the day. It's really not good for the body because the body wants to be moving. So there are ways we can get around that.
So if you have someone who is in the situation that we're talking about, they're retired, they don't have a lot of movement currently going on in their life, about how much time in a day would be reasonable to expect that they should be doing some sort of movement?
Yeah. So the professional organizations that I belong to have all their recommendations about, oh, it's got to be 150 minutes per week. And, you know, it's got to be vigorous and it's got to be this and it's got to be that. This is where I think people get really turned off. People who don't have a regular movement routine or who may be listening to this podcast and saying, well, I'm the person that walks the dog in the morning and then I don't do anything for the rest of the day. So now what? So I'm not going to lay on them that they are supposed to be moving 150 minutes in a day, because if they're moving 10 minutes in a day, that just 150 minutes in a week. So if they're moving 10 minutes in a day, anything more than that just seems sort of out of reach. So what I'm going to say to them is, well, what's possible for you? What's possible for you today, or what's possible for you this week? Is it possible to take the dog for a walk twice? Is it possible for you to maybe walk the hallways of your apartment building if you live in an apartment building, or walk outside if the weather's good? Again, this is my world. So these are the thoughts that I have constantly with clients. It's not really, a lot of people can sit and kind of think about, well, I could walk a little bit more, but then getting them to actually do that, that's a different scenario. So you can have a thought, you can have a lot of good thoughts about yourself, but if there's not subsequent action on those thoughts, the thoughts are sort of useless. And that's why my clients have hired me, to help kind of nudge them forward to discuss these thoughts and what's possible for them, and then to get them going. So I always like to start with having clients be successful. It's really important to me that I don't say something or ask them to do something where there's a high likelihood that they will fail, because mentally that puts them in a really bad place. So I would say to them, yeah, well, what's possible for you today? Let's design a little thing. And maybe it's 3 minutes, maybe it's 10 minutes, maybe it's 1 minute. And, you know, do it for the week and then tell me how it went.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just hearing you talk about it is, you know, helping to lessen some of the anxiety, because I'm thinking to myself, just like you said, when we talk about the word exercise and things, I'm thinking of the stationary bike. I'm thinking of the treadmill. I'm thinking of all these other machines and things. And really, you're talking about movement, which is, like you said, you don't even have it, just at any point in the day, you can sit down and do certain types of stretches or things. And, you know, just weaving it into your normal daily pattern, which then makes it a lot more accessible, I guess, to everybody. But before we go any further, we have to take a commercial break here. So let me take a break. We'll come back, and then let's talk a little bit more about sleep and movement. So we'll be right back after this commercial.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good. Good, good.
All right. We are back on Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We're here with Laura Dow, and she is talking to us about movement. Another word, less threatening word than exercise, but movement and how it impacts the body, and now more specifically related to sleep. So tell us about your understanding of what people can and should be doing to help with their sleep.
Sure. Well, the good news here is that just about anything that you do to help your body move more is going to help your sleep. There are a couple of caveats to that, which I'll get into, but I want people to know that by and large, there's really nothing that they can do that's movement rich or movement physical activity rich that's going to negatively affect their sleep. And as I said, there's a couple of exceptions, which I'll get to. So that being said, are there targeted things that one can do to help sleep? So this is what I know from being a fitness professional. If you are a high-strung personality, and I'm going to put myself in that category, I live in Washington, D.C., and we're all kind of crazy here in terms of, you know, being very career focused, professionally focused, and always on the go. So many cities are like that. So if you are that kind of person, sometimes being told to relax is just like crazy. So meditation, which has really good benefits for sleep. Meditation is just not accessible for us. We don't want to even hear it. I have clients like that. So what could one do instead of something like meditation, which is known to help sleep? Well, you can do yoga if that's something that interests you, and a gentle yoga practice, if you have no experience with yoga, would be the place to start. There's all different kinds of yoga. So if you say to me, you're listening to this and you go, I hate yoga. Okay, yes, and tell me the kinds of yoga you've tried, and I can give you some recommendations on other types of yoga. There's a yoga that's called Yoga Nidra, and that's spelled N-I-D-R-A, and it is a specific kind of yoga to help you relax and to go to sleep easier and to have deeper sleep. It is kind of guided meditation in a way. I hesitate to use meditation. So let's say visualization. So you would be listening to something as you're relaxing. It's laying down, eyes are closed. Hopefully you're engaging in some yoga breathing, which is gentle inhales through the nose and exhales out the nose. So it's very calming kind of breath. And you're trying to relax the body and to get it to release all the thoughts. Like I said, I'm high strung. I have lots of thoughts. I ruminate at night. And so to try to get me out of that. So Yoga Nidra is very specific for sleep. Meditation, as I've already mentioned, and as I've said, that turns people off. So what's really good that I've seen is any kind of rhythmic movement. What does that mean? Walking. That's accessible to most people. So an evening walk, once upon a time, it was called the evening constitution, right? You walk after dinner. So if you have a pet, a dog that needs to be walked, that's the perfect time to go outside. Being outside in nature is known to help everything, all right? Unless it's pouring rain, unless there's some, you know, horrible disaster or weather situation, you cannot safely be outside. But sunshine, being outside, preferably in nature rather than an urban environment, moving your body in that environment, that helps everything, including sleep. Some of the things that you want to look out for is you don't want super vigorous exercise at night. Maybe that helps some people because we're all individuals. We're all unique. So some of this is hit or miss. People who are listening will need to try. And trying means, you know, try it for a week or two. Don't try it once and make a judgment. Try it a couple times and then make an observe yourself and then make a decision about whether it works for you. Stretching is lovely. You can do, if you can't be outside and you want to do some movement, but you don't want to, you know, walk or you don't want to swim, or you don't want to whatever else, bike, you can do some inside stretching. There are very easy stretches that you can do standing, or you can be on the floor, or even seated to a degree. Anything that's a kind of rhythmic movement where you're moving your body in a repetitive fashion is generally quite helpful because it calms the mind too. And sometimes for sleep, sometimes at least for my clients, the hardest part is getting that brain to turn off.
Right. Right.
So those would be breathing, obviously, is another one. I mean, I know there's a lot of advice about people doing slow breathing, but when you're an anxious personality, you're high strung, you can probably get two or three of those nice slow breaths, and then your brain is off somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be my general recommendations. And the caveat is not to do, you know, really high intensity movement too close to bedtime, because that revs up the body. And for some of us, that'll be great. There'll be a nice release. But for a lot of us, that will just make us, like, you know, wired.
Right, right. So, you know, there's a lot in there. And I'm going to ask a couple questions. One of them is, so you spoke about yoga. And, you know, I think there's probably a lot of people that hear the word yoga and they think of that traditional picture of the, and I don't even know what the pose is, where the legs are crossed over almost like a pretzel. And so we think of some really difficult positions and balances and all. But if you have someone who has not been doing a lot of exercise and they just want to get started, are there yoga positions, and you describe one kind of laying down, but so yoga could be for them as well?
Yes. So I think yoga gets a bad rap, just like fitness and exercise. When you say that to an 80 or a 90 year old, okay, we're going to exercise now. And they have a look of terror on their face rather than a look of excitement or pleasure. So when I was working with my clients, and I work exclusively with older adults, I thought that yoga, more stretching, you could couch it that way, would mm-hmm. be very useful for them. And by and large, to a person, they would say, I'm worried about hurting myself. I'm worried about looking like ridiculous in a class of 20-year-olds. I'm not flexible. I can't do this. So I created a signature class called Yoga for the Stiff and Terrified. And it was a class of us. It was a class of people that were had not much exposure to yoga and who wanted to do something very nice for them. So you can call yoga stretching. As I said in the other segment, there's lots of different kinds of yoga. So anyone just starting out, look for a class that says gentle yoga. Look for a class that says beginner yoga. Look for a class where the teacher is talking about alignment, because the alignment of your body parts is really important to keep you safe. If you have injuries already, you want the instructor to know that. Look for smaller classes rather than the big gym classes where there are 40, or yoga studio classes where there are 40 or 50 people in the class. Look for a class of 10 where the instructor can have their eyes on you. Consider mm-hmm. taking a private yoga session. I do private yoga sessions now with some of my clients who want that. And therefore, it's quite targeted to them. I'm watching them exclusively, and I'm giving them information about what I see in their bodies, and we can get it so that it's quite safe for them. So yoga, I understand that a lot of people come to yoga and they're like, yeah, this is not for me. I don't want to be in a class. No. And my comeback to that is, let's find a situation that works for you. So again, this is the success thing. I would never tell someone to go to a yoga class that I hadn't done a little bit of research about. Like, if they want to, they can do their own research. But by and large, I will say to a client, okay, so I took this class with, you know, Mrs. Jones, and I thought it was really good for these reasons, and it might be a class that you might enjoy. So why don't you think about taking the class? So I try to vet things, which is why I'm sharing with your listeners, look for gentle, look for beginner, look for small classes or the privates.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. So, yeah, I like that, to think of it as stretching and things, because that seems a lot more manageable than what comes up in my mind when I think of the word yoga. So if somebody is listening to this show and they have they've been relatively sedentary and they're now looking to kind of improve some things for themselves, and they're interested in just trying a couple things at home that they can just sort of see if they feel comfortable doing things. Can you give us a handful of things and kind of describe how they would do it so that they can just sort of test out the concept of maybe self-stretching and things like that?
Sure. So there's lots of resources online, and I'm going to caution people about vetting or being very discerning about what's online, because there are places to go that there's really useful information and places to go where there's not really useful information. I would never want anyone to get hurt by trying some of these videos. So for instance, if you follow any physical therapists online, which I do, I follow probably half a dozen to a dozen physical therapists, by and large, that information is going to be fairly useful information. So let me, to your point, in case people are, you know, maybe they're listening to this and not watching it, or maybe they would rather get something online. But to your point, let me share with you. So I showed shoulder shrugs. That's simple. Everybody in the video, Andrew, if you want to do this with me, you're more than welcome to do this with me. All you're doing is lifting the muscles that are at the top here. You're lifting them up to your ears. A lot of people during the day will get, you know, they'll be in this position looking at their computer, right? Okay, mm-hmm. So this is you can see me. This is horrible. Just, I mean, doesn't it make you pain? Pain just looking at this. So this helps to release those muscles. Okay, so that would be number one. That's very simple. How do you feel?
Good. It's nice to kind of loosen things up. So for those that are just listening, you know, I'm just lifting my shoulders up to my ears and then back down into a comfortable position. Pretty simple.
And you don't have to be violent about it. You're not, but you don't have to lift up your shoulders and then violently pull them down. I mean, mm-hmm. if that feels good to you, okay. But I'm an advocate of being semi-kind to yourself and gentle, and, you know, especially when you're learning something. Then the next thing that you can do, and Andrew, I think you can do this with me, even with your headphones, is you can keep your body nice and still. So we move this part of the body, the upper chest area, the upper shoulder area. Now we're going to keep that quiet, and we're just going to move the head from side to side. Now, you need to be careful. This is a very slow, controlled movement, because I don't know your neck, Andrew, and I certainly mm-hmm. don't know any of the listeners. I don't know their bodies. I don't know if they have any spinal issues in their cervical spine. So you have to be really careful. So mm-hmm. I'm going to watch Andrew for a second, because he's demonstrating very nicely.
Well, it feels really good. You know, when I get to the end, you know, the full side, the left or the right, mm-hmm. it feels good because I can feel sort of a stretch in the back of my mm-hmm. neck.
That's a great observation. And that's what I would encourage your listeners to do, exactly what you just did, which is try the movement. And then what do you feel? What do you notice? What do you observe? And then have this little internal conversation with yourself about, okay, that feels like a moderate stretch, but it's not painful. It's not straining. That's what you want. You want a stretch sensation that is not edging into pain, because as a personal trainer, I'm not allowed to take people into pain. Okay, so those are two things for the upper body. I already gave the hip circles for the lower body. If you're familiar with squats, and we won't do those on camera, you can easily do some mini squats. Those are great things to do throughout the day. So a mini squat would be just pretend that you've got a chair behind you, sit your butt back and bend your knees. That's something that you can find on YouTube or on Instagram. I would go to YouTube. Mm-hmm. So not to plug myself, but if people would like, I have a couple of videos on my YouTube channel, Stiff to Fit. I actually have a seated yoga practice and a standing yoga practice on the Stiff to Fit channel, Stiff to Fit. They're about 12 to 14 minutes each, but you could do the first 2 minutes. It's fine. I do not twist myself into a pretzel. At least I hope that people, you know, that's a great name for a class, that I don't twist myself into a pretzel yoga class. Okay.
Right.
Because I've had clients say that they're not a pretzel. They don't want to feel like a pretzel. And I appreciate that. I think that this is part of that issue with fitness and exercise, the concept of, well, I've got to be able to do 150 pushups. I've got to be able to jump up onto a box. I've got to be able to run a marathon. And the answer to that is no, you need to move your body. Move your body. Your body will be very happy. Maybe next week and next month, you can move your body a little bit more than today.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, let's, you know, this is a spot where I need to take another commercial break. So let's do that and then come back and talk about some more aspects of our health. So we'll be right back on Sleep Science Today.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Good, good, good.
Okay, we are back on Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We've got Laura Dow, and we are talking about, we were just talking about stretching. And now I'd kind of like to put the whole picture together. We've got exercise, we've got nutrition, we've got our mind, we've got all these aspects. Can you kind of sum up the whole thing for us in terms of what makes a person, you know, get into a healthier state?
Yeah. Well, the first thing would be intrinsic motivation. There's got to be a reason why anybody wants change in their lives, because let's face it, change can be hard. Any of us getting from the place that we're at to a new place, that's change. So moving differently or more is change. And there's a lot of brain energy that gets taken up with that. So I want us to be very kind as we're considering, because we're in the January, right? We're in January, resolutionary time, right? Mm-hmm. So people are making all these resolutions to be healthier and happier and wealthier and whatever their goals are. But there needs to be an understanding that you cannot change everything all at once today. That's probably a really bad idea for most of us. So let's talk about choose one thing. So I am a health coach in addition to a yoga teacher and a personal trainer. And I often work with clients on looking at their lives holistically and seeing what their goals are. I am an advocate of changing one thing at a time, but I'll talk about a number of the different areas and people can make their own decisions. Clearly, more movement is always beneficial. Okay, clearly. All right. Then you go into nutrition. And I am certified as a nutrition coach. However, is if you have a specific medical situation where you are already working with a dietitian, an RD, or your doctor, then you stay with that. My information is for the generically, the mythical generic human being who doesn't have any medical conditions, which I don't know that person, but okay. So nutritionally, you want to think about, like, how are you managing your food and what are you eating, like, late afternoon to the evening? Because if you're sleeping like our normal, most of us sleep in the evening when it's dark out and wake before either it's light or it's just starting to be light out. We have that, you know, daily awake period. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has that. I have known people who've had that third shift where they're working third shift. That's misery. But anyway, yeah. We're not going to get into that. We'll stay with the daily. Then you want to think about how you're like, what does that late afternoon evening look like? I'm a big tea drinker. So I stopped drinking my tea, which has caffeine in it. It's green tea, by about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And then I switch to water for the rest of the day. I am not somebody who likes to exercise in the evening, although once upon a time I did that. So my movement in the evening might consist of doing the stretches that we talked about in one of the other segments. I'm not going to be going to a class, although a yoga class might be nice. I'm not going to be doing my vigorous walking or my whatever else, my weight training that I might be doing earlier in the day. I'm going to be kind of winding down a little bit. I want to look at the foods that I eat also close to bedtime. Like I try to finish eating by 6 o'clock. I have a somewhat earlier bedtime than a lot of folks, but I try not to snack. If you snack, it's not a problem unless it keeps you up. Mm-hmm. Right. So all of my advice is based on what works for you. But these are just ideas for people to consider. So I don't drink caffeine after like 1 p.m. That would include coffee. And guys, chocolate has caffeine in it. You know, maybe we don't eat enough to have it affect us, but be aware, mm-hmm. Chocolate does have caffeine. I don't eat super spicy foods in the evening or things that like heavy meat. I'm not a big meat eater. So just I'm just looking at how can I get my body to feel like it's going to relax. So that's number one. Nutrition is number one. Then we want to look at our circadian rhythms, which I'm sure you've had other experts on that have talked about that. Some of us are morning people. Some of us are, you know, night owls. Some of us like to work out first thing in the morning. Some of us like to move at night. I mean, there's a wide variety of human activity and the way that human beings live. So I think my best advice would be, can you pay some attention to yourself? Maybe try some of the ideas that were talked about in other podcasts that you've done or the ideas I've presented, and just make yourself be, you know, like a little lab experiment. And a lab experiment in a good way, not a guinea pig, but in a good way, that you're just trying some things, maybe one thing or two things at a time, and just seeing if there's any changes over the course of 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. we talked before about meditation. That's another word that really turns off people who are, you know, kind of, you know, on the go types of people. But meditation can be very nice. And meditation doesn't have to be sitting in lotus position for an hour and a half. It can be a lying down meditation like yoga nidra. Music can be wonderful, a wonderful way to relax. Being a former classical musician, I love music, all different kinds of music. So could you put earbuds in? Could you have headphones on or just have it on and maybe drift off to that? Scents are another thing that are very useful for people, essential oils. So lavender is the obvious one, but there are other scents. Maybe there's a scent that brings you back to childhood that's very comforting. Vanilla is a lovely scent. Most of us grew up with, you know, baking, the smell of baking with vanilla. So I do have scents, and you could take a tissue, a little tissue, put an essential oil on the tissue, and then maybe put it underneath your pillowcase just so that you have some of that scent. It doesn't work for everybody. I mean, this is why we need lots and lots of options and lots of different possibilities, and then people need to try it.
Wow. Okay. So there's a lot in there. So, you know, you did say a couple of times, I think, that, you know, there's that personal motivation that has to come in first, because in order to start doing any of these things, you've got to have a motivation. Now, I would assume that if somebody is listening to the show, they may already be thinking about making some changes for themselves. Can you talk a little bit about sort of mind and self and how that plays into this picture?
Absolutely. That's a big part of the book. That's been a big part of my life ever since I started even teaching flute students. You want your mind and your body to work together. And I've seen so many times how a client's mind will actually get in the way of the body moving well, because the body, we know how to move. We are already moving as we sit here. I made that point earlier. So, you know, moving our body physically, like taking a walk or doing squats or doing a stretch, that's something that's already kind of hardwired into the body. And we often get in the way of that for lots of reasons. So you definitely want to get your mind and your body to work together. Well, how do you do that? Self-awareness is a huge piece of this. So wherever you are at on the continuum of being self-aware, you just want to observe yourself a little bit more, especially your body senses. So we spend a lot of time intellectually, like up in our heads, right? But we want to take that intellectual ability and look at our bodies and say, does this feel good? Does this feel uncomfortable? Which is okay. Does it feel like I'm straining myself? Not okay. Is it painful? Not okay. Uncomfortable is fine, because anytime you make a change, you're going to be uncomfortable. It's something that's new. It's different. There's lots of reasons why people feel uncomfortable with change. You might be afraid of something. It's all fine. But that's not a reason to stop. So if you are wanting a change, like I said before, you can have many thoughts about how to do the change. But unless you actually act and do something, pick one thing and do it over time, you're not going to move yourself out of the place that you're already in. Mm-hmm. So this whole mental part of it is critical, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. I found that, number one, I agree with what you say about if you don't move to a place where you're a little bit uncomfortable, then you're not really making much of a change at all. So you're not going to really ever get to the next stage. So it's almost as if you have to get to where you're a little bit uncomfortable to know that you're accomplishing something. And the other thing that I found, you know, in my own practice, people come in and they're thinking about making a change, and they think about sort of going from A to Z in, you know, the blink of an eye. And then it becomes overwhelming, and then they don't even want to get started because they're never going to get to the end. And this whole, you know, thing blows up in their mind. And what we work on is we say, whoa, we're not going from A to Z today. We're going from A to partially to B. And just taking those small little steps. You don't have to get out there and do every exercise under the sun tomorrow morning. You can get out there and take a walk around the block one more time. You can take, you know, one flight of stairs, maybe, if that's a way to get started. So, you know, I think it's important that people realize this is incremental, and you build up, and then it's not as scary.
Yeah, that's really well said. I completely agree with that. And it is, again, a point that I've used with clients because we live in Washington, D.C., and so everybody wants to go from A to Z today. That's not the way that the body operates. You need to be kind to yourself and to start with good habits, which means consistency over time. You take one small action today, whatever that means for you. Doesn't matter if it's not the same action as your neighbor or as your mother or as your son, or it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. What matters is that you've chosen something and you're going to do it over time. And you're going to do it consistently over time. And then you will start to see some results over time. Mm-hmm. So completely agree.
Yeah. And one thing I meant to ask you before and I forgot. You were talking about yoga and some of the different classes and things out there. What is chair yoga in that category?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, we need to offer options for every human being as best we can. And there are some people that it's not safe for them to stand. There are some people that they have an injury that they cannot weight bear on one leg, or maybe they don't have a second leg to stand on. So you have to meet people where they're at. So there's lots of different kinds of yoga. I've taught chair yoga. And as I said, there's a chair yoga practice on the YouTube channel. People can look at it. If you're capable of doing standing yoga, that's a goal that you might want to have for yourself. But you can absolutely start with on the floor yoga. Gentle yoga often is on the floor. Then you maybe progress to chair yoga. And then maybe if you care to, you progress to standing yoga. It's all good. It's all yoga. It's all useful.
Well, I love that. Well, we are actually out of time for the day. So I want to show your book one more time. This is Mind Your Movement, My Hand Is in the Way, by Laura Dow. And you've got your YouTube channel, which is Stiff to Fit. That's on YouTube, right? So people can look up some of these exercises. And, you know, I think that putting all this together and recognizing that sleep is not just a separate thing, but it ties into our holistic body, our mind, our exercise, our breathing, our eating, all these pieces are so important. So this is Andrew Kolsky on Sleep Science Today. Our guest, Laura Dow, thank you all for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you on another episode.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, Sleep Science Today and sleep better tonight.